Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. We continue with Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Rob Bradford. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. You can go, by the way, go check out at BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring. On the socials, growing and growing and growing every single day. Producer Evan O'Brien doing an awesome job of growing that account at BB Isn't Boring. And also the hats are coming. Sammy's wearing his hats right now. Excellent job, Sammy. How's it feel? Good?
It fits really well.
Genuinely? Okay.
It's a high quality
Kylie,
hat.
You yes or no on the hat?
I like it.
Oh, don't, you don't sound convinced at all.
There's a whole hat thing at our house.
Oh, okay. We have hat problems. Right.
Well, just to say you like it.
What does that mean?
Yeah, okay.
She hat says problems? I have too many hats.
I was going to say so. Anyway, go ahead. 617-779-7937. We're going to be with you all the way up to the pregame show. Sammy and Gordo are here. And I said producer Evan O'Brien, doing a great job building the socials. Well, we got also Joe Braverman, excellent job. Happy birthday, Joe. Joe Braverman will play Tessie. He's also the straw that stirs the drink when it comes to that podcast. You guys are doing a great job. Great podcast, a lot of electricity, a lot of fun, a lot of followers, a lot of conversation, a lot of buzz all around you. I look forward to play Tessie Knight at Fenway Park, so that's going to be great next year.
Let's go.
It's going to be awesome. All right, so we have do we have any scores, by the way? Any scores? Cleveland, they're still up on Minnesota, 6-0, correct?
Yeah.
Correct. What do we got for the Detroit? What's going on?
Detroit just lost. They blew a 9th-inning lead.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, so my goodness.
They just
goodness.
Lost. That's crazy. Braves close it out.
That's nuts. So we have where we stand. The Red Sox right now hold the same record as Detroit.
If they win tonight, they'll hold the same record as
That's
Detroit.
That's crazy. That's nuts.
But Detroit will, assuming Cleveland closes this out, leading into Cleveland's night game, Detroit will still have a game and a half lead on the division.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Cleveland could shrink that to just a game.
All right, before I get to my Christian Campbell take, I want to go to Tony in Bridgewater. Always a good time with Tony. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
Good.
You know something, honest, but I've been calling this radio station since they used to talk about chicks and Chinese food for over 30 years. And these same people that are calling you back in May or June, all I heard was, as long as they're playing meaningful games in September, you know, and they're playing meaningful games in September. So, you know, just, you know, cool the Jets. To me, this is just a bonus season. You know, when Mayer comes back next year and Anthony and these young pitchers, that's when they make their mark. I'm enjoying the Red Sox right now.
Yeah, Tony, I'm not to interrupt you, but I agree with you. It is sort of bizarre to me the course of this week. I know that it's sort of the sad trombone of games, but it was immediately who's to blame? Who's to blame? And the comparison of collapses in 2011, it's crazy. This is nothing like that. Nothing. Zero.
There's no collapse.
No.
We can't help it. Abreu got hurt. We can't help it. Anthony got hurt. These young pitchers are coming up. I don't know why. You know, I'm skeptical and stuff. The only thing with the Red Sox to me is they got nothing for their players. You could go back to like Chris Sale, and they got Grissom for him. Like, they got nothing in return for these guys, Devers and stuff like that. But
yeah.
That has nothing to do with, you know, maybe someone could have helped right now. But the Red Sox team right now, to me, they're pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, and I will also say one more thing about 2011 was that they had the best record in baseball at the end of August. That's, you know, so it's not even comparable. And I know people love the idea of collapses or love the idea of that narrative. But the one part I will disagree with you, Tony, is that this isn't gravy. And the reason why this isn't gravy for this season is because you've already pushed your chips a little bit to the middle of the table. More importantly, this opportunity to get to the World Series because of the American League that we cited before, Tony, they're going to be better, but this is an enormous opportunity to actually make it to the World Series because of the American League, not because you're great.
What were people thinking? What were you thinking, Rob, back in late May, early June? What were you thinking?
Well, I mean, I think that it was probably like, oh, my goodness, the wheels are falling off, and Trevor Story is the worst hitter in the history of the planet and all of that. It's like everybody else. But you're right. What I was thinking, honestly, wasn't that they weren't talented because they had invested in talent. It was, what the heck is happening?
But all we were saying is, I just want them to play meaningful games.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and all right.
Sit back, relax, enjoy a little bit.
No, it's good points by you, Tony. Go ahead, Gordo. Thank you for the call.
I'm all for the just play meaningful games in September. Like, that's where we were last year, the year before that. I get it. This year, I don't think going into the season that was the mindset.
No, but that's what I was saying.
Right, but
that's
also,
when he asked about May, I think I didn't articulate that well.
True. Yeah, when you asked,
if
about
I wasn't
May,
running in the show, I would eat salsa right now. But I'm going to. I'm not going to.
Here you go.
Yeah,
I got you.
I got to save my bullets.
No, the meaningful baseball in September is great, but you and I both sat here, Gordo.
It.
We said Red Sox probably top 2-3 teams in the American League. You need to do more than meaningful baseball. And I understand injuries. They have had bad luck, but that's not a get out of jail free card if you do, in fact, blow this lead, which, again, I don't think they will. But it could happen.
It's not a get out of jail free card when you had a 98.2% chance to make the postseason.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Five and a half
hurt.
Game lead.
When you have a 98.2% chance to make the postseason, according to FanGraphs, you make the postseason or it's a failure. That's just the way. That's just the way it is.
To be clear, in September
or at any point.
Okay.
Like if it's 98.2 in July, like you're pretty far ahead.
All right. It's Allison in Cambridge. We miss you, Allison. Good to have you back. What's going on?
Hi, guys. Hey there, I'm fine. I'm good. I was going to go about how I wish this team had been built in the offseason and where we would be right now. And I was going to say, but I'm not going to mention Xander because I know he wasn't going to be here being in this year. But after what Tony said in your conversation, I think it's taken in a different place. And maybe I have to say this last thing first. You know, I always like to be positive, but I have to bring up a point. You know, Rob, you keep repeating every show you go on that getting rid of Rafi gave all this flexibility and brought up the kids, Roman Anthony, everything like that. All that I see is that we're stuck with Massa as the DH. Wouldn't this team just be better if we had Rafi as DH?
Allison, I'll let you keep going. It's a good point by you, and I've obviously wrestled with this the last week. Because it's undeniable that having Rafael Devers in this lineup would be the perfect solution to a lot of their problems. But this is where I come back to it. And you're right about Masayoshi, no question about it. But what I come back to is that do they, for whatever reason, and I do think a big part of it, and I heard KJ and John Lyons talking about, well, would Roman Anthony have done this if Devers was there? And they said, oh, of course he would have. I don't know if he would have. He wasn't playing all the time. He wasn't necessarily getting the opportunities. They were sort of mixing and matching more, and Yoshida wasn't even involved. For whatever reason. Hold on 1 second, Allison. For whatever reason. For whatever reason, however it happened. When Rafael Devers got traded and they made this roster like it was, that is when they went from this 500, slightly less than 500 team to what? How many games are they over 500 right now? Like 15
now?
Or something?
Okay. Yeah.
However that happened, you can't ignore that one absolutely led to the other. Go ahead.
No, I don't agree with that. Now I have to say something else, which is we were already heading in the right direction in the last period with Rafi. We swept the Yankees. We took the series with Tampa Bay. We were doing really well. And the reason for that is because before, when we were doing really badly 2 weeks before that, everyone said that Andrew Bailey would be fired. So what the change was is our pitchers were starting to throw fastballs. And so we already made that change. Rafi was content in doing very well at DH, and we could have moved forward from that point. We should be able to have a team with Alex Bregman and also Ramon that – Roman Anthony would have gotten playing time when Willie Abreu got hurt. It would have happened, or someone else would have gotten hurt. It would have happened. We would have had a team with Alex Bregman, with Rafi, and with also the kids coming up. And I just, that, I guess that it does connect with what I was going to say about how, I mean, the thing is, Craig Breslow, in his first year, I thought in the offseason he would have gotten rid of Massa. I mean, that was, I always say, it was the only player that Haim fully got on his own, and it was just ridiculous. And I thought he would have done it, but I thought last year he just wanted to see the way things were. In this offseason, he should have gotten rid of Massa. It was just ridiculous. And
I'm with you, Allison.
You got me speechless.
Allison, I'm with you. I'm with you. And it's good to hear from you. And please call back next week. But, you know, with the Yoshida, let's stick on the Yoshida thing, right? Yoshida, this isn't a first guess. This is, they tied themselves into knots to try to suggest that Masayo Yoshida was going to be this player that he just simply has not become. They kept saying shoulder injury, look what he did at the beginning of his first year, so forth and so on. It's not happening. And one of the things that also, this is my own problem, but I watch him play and everything about him is so methodical, it drives me kind of nuts.
Are you talking about like the form?
No, I'm not even talking about the form.
Methodical.
So the other day I was sitting in the stands mingling with the riffraff, right? So, and you've been in those seats, right? Two rows from the field, whatever. Thank you, Entercom Boston.
Shout out.
Entercom Boston, Odyssey Boston, sorry. But it's, you're watching him, and he's a good guy. He obviously has a lot of success in baseball. He has had his moments here, but there is that element of I hate to say it, but you had your choice. You had Kyle Schwarber or Masa Yoshida, and I'm not even talking about the end result. I'm not talking about Schwarber hitting 50 home runs and all this production and everything else. I'm just talking about the vibe of him. And I don't know, I can't say that, oh, look, that's the guy that we're going to say, big moment, Masa Yoshida's up, he's going to get it done, the gritty, gutty Masa Yoshida. Maybe that's not fair to me, but that's the feeling. He's almost, I turned to, I think, Ian Brown, I said, you know, I almost feels like he's a poor man's J.D. Drew. And I like J.D. Drew.
Would you say a poor man's J.D. Drew?
A poor man's.
Was that intentional?
A double down from, wow, J.D. Drew. But the point is that I like J.D. Drew. He's not the player that J.D. Drew is, but J.D. Drew would drive a lot of people nuts because of the same sort of way he went about business. Am I wrong?
People thought J.D. Drew didn't care. I remember that. People were like, hey, he just mopes around. He doesn't care.
But that wasn't. Yeah, I mean, that wasn't necessarily true. But forget about that narrative. Just the way that you saw him, like the methodical way that he did things, even though he was an insanely good athlete. I mean, that comparison is not even close to Masa Yoshida.
If you think about how you felt about J.D. Drew in the moment, or maybe this is just a me thing, but when I think about how I felt about J.D. Drew and you look at his like baseball reference page, completely different story. Like, he was legitimately good.
That's why
with
I
the
said. That's why I said a poor man, poor man.
Yeah, like, that's why you got to, like, go two levels.
Yeah, two
down.
Levels.
Down.
Basically, yeah. a guy who's not nearly as good as J.D. Drew, but the same reaction you see when he comes up, and the same sort of criticism, because people like the fiery, the gritty, gutty guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if Masa Yoshida was producing, that's fine. That's cool. That's good. Like, that's just like J.D. Drew when he hit the grand slam in the playoffs. Yeah. Hey, J.D. Drew's the best. You know, even though he made me pay for his lunch at one time in sushi, he's making $70 million.
Did he really?
He's still the, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why'd he make
it? This is a blessing. Anyway.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so, but that, you know what I'm saying? And so, ultimately, none of that matters. Ultimately, it comes back to, this stems off of Allison's call, which is, yeah, like, Masa, part of this whole equation was finding at bat for Masa Yoshida. But I the Devers thing is very, very complicated, and a lot of it is you just can't prove. I mean, that's the
thing.
I don't like
the Devers convo at all. We spoke about it for so long. He's not part of the equation. He cannot become part of the equation. I'm well
why?
Beyond that.
Wait, why? Why? The team is not hitting right now. They haven't been hitting for a long time. They don't have middle of the order bats. That's a middle of the order bat that they willingly traded. Why should it not be part of the conversation?
Because they'd obviously be better with him, and he's not here, and it stinks, and that's it.
But would they have put it this way? Here's the question. Would they be 15 games or what are they?
They're 14 over. Right?
Would they be 14 games over?
I don't
over?
Know. You can't prove it, and I think you can prove the offense would be better, but you don't know if the whole team would be better, and it's just us guessing on a guy who's not part of the picture, who's playing for a different team on the other side of the country, and he'll never be part of the equation again. Kyle Schwarber we could talk about because maybe next year he is part of the equation. But Devers, I'm not even thinking about that guy anymore. I thought about him for two straight months, and now I'm over it.
Well,
goodbye.
You can't change the decisions that they made, but if the Red Sox fall out of this thing and miss the postseason, that's what's on the line here.
It'll come back up because the one thing that he delivered, despite all the chaos, if you said this guy's available to help you, even with I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that and whatever the clubhouse vibe, whatever it is. If you said that, you get this guy for this last week of the season in the playoffs, you would take him. That's just reality because this is where this team is at.
Look at 2021. He hit the home run. He got you there.
No, I understand. Yeah. Devers changed. That's a whole other thing. But I will say this, is that they were 32-35. Even though they swept the Yankees, they were 32-35 when they traded Devers. Mm-hmm. That part you can't ignore.
No, you can't, but also you can't ignore that they had just called up Roman Anthony. You can talk about, they got better when they traded Devers, or you could say they got better when they called Roman Anthony up.
Right, but still, despite what Allison said, you still had Duran, Rafaela, you had Abreu.
Yes, someone would have had to go at some point.
And you had second baseman playing. You had Meyer playing second base. Mm-hmm. And so
someone would have had to get traded.
It's fine. I'm all for the conversation because, as I said to Allison, I have a hard time getting my head around it because ultimately the nuts and bolts, the here and the now, you need a bat. He is a bat. You Kyle Harrison, God bless him, and he might pitch great, but he certainly, that isn't you got Kyle Harrison, it's all good. No, that conversation's out the window. And I'm all for it. It's a very, very, because it's so much that you can't prove anyway.
But that's why it's a conversation.
I know, it's great.
If they miss the playoffs, it's going to be all off season.
You know what?
Long.
It's just like we said before. It's just why everybody talking about who's to blame, the Alex Cora, Craig Breslow conversation's good. Because number one, it's probably a 50-50 result. Number two, that you can't prove either way.
Yeah.
And so we get a lot of that to get to. But right now is the most important part of the show where a star is born.
Ooh.
A star is born. Kylie's in studio. The show is doing so well. Sponsors are lining up. They said, you know what? You're doing so well. We need a designated trend reader. That's no disrespect to Brian because Brian is a designated trend writer. Excellent job. Always know. Put it on your Wikipedia page or put it on your whatever. Do you have a girlfriend?
I do.
All right. Well, if you didn't have a girlfriend, you could put it on your dating app and say on your description, say, write a mean trend along with an Uber rating. That's what suggestions that I would have for you. But Kylie is going to read another trend. Now, Kylie, you are accepting of this. If there's any mistakes or a flub, we have to halt it, and you have to take a spoonful of ghost pepper salsa.
Give me the word.
All right. I believe in you. All right, here we go. Let's try it.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Boston Red Sox finally got back in the win column with a 11 victory last night.
Oh, stop, stop, stop.
Wait. But was it written?
Was it a typo? Was it on me?
It says 11 victory last night.
I deleted the 7. That's on me.
Hold on. Someone get some salsa into Brian right now. Gordo, you take. Continue, Kylie. Go ahead. You're doing a great job.
What was the mistake, can I ask?
I didn't put the Rays score. I just had the Red Sox score. Ah. It should have been 11-7. That's on me.
Okay.
Ah,
all right.
An 11-7 victory.
Okay. And
right.
keep your mic open, Brian, by the way, when you eat.
Am I doing it now or do I wait till she's done trending?
No. You can do it now.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Kylie.
Okay. With an 11-7 victory last night for the Red Sox, Jaron Duran and Alex Bregman both went deep for the Sox, and they are back at it again tonight with first pitch at 7:05 with Kyle Harrison on the bump for the Sox. Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks will be on the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network.
All right, pause. Brian, how you feeling?
That's hot. Then? That's it gets all over your tongue. Woo! Sweat's already coming, man. That's hot.
I teach you to that's be better hot. In writing your trends. Continue, Oof. Kylie.
Where was I? Oh, here we go. Shaw's. Go shopping. Thank you, Joe. Get rewarded. Go shopping. Get rewarded at Shaw's. Joe Weil will get you started with a Mass Mutual pregame show starting at 6:05.
Continue.
The Red Sox currently sit at 1.5 games ahead of the Guardians for the final wild card spot in the AL. Cleveland is on their way to wrapping up a win in Minnesota in the first game of their doubleheader against the Twins. The Patriots will kick off their Week 3 matchup against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and they will be without their star cornerback, Christian Gonzalez. You can get ready for the game starting at 10 o'clock right here on WEEI with the Patriots Football Sunday Show with our own Christian Arcand, Megan Odolini, Chris Scheim, Ted Johnson, and Tom E. Curran. Bill Belichick and the North Carolina Tar Heels are visiting the UCF Knights and currently trail 10-0. The New England Revolution currently trail Philadelphia 1-0 in the 80th minute. I'm Kylie, and that's what's trending on WEEI.com.
The lesson here is that ghost pepper salsa makes everybody better. It made you, you could tell, you were not going to be denied, Kylie. You were not going to mess up. You were in the zone. And conversely, Brian messed up.
It got to my head. I'm not a performance player.
And now, I bet next time you write a trend, there'll be zero mistakes.
I already put the 7 in.
There you go.
For next time.
All right. We'll get more back to it. We got all the calls lining up. You can join the conversation 617-779-7937. Should they have kept Devers? Who's to blame? Alex Cora, Craig Breslow, Christian Campbell. Can he help? All the above, along with anything else you want to talk about, the Red Sox will be with you. Right now, we're going to take a quick
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Break.
Make a habit of it. Bradfoe and baseball isn't boring. WEEI.
All right, pause. Brian, how you feeling?
That's hot. Then? That's it gets all over your tongue. Woo! Sweat's already coming, man. That's hot.
I teach you to that's be hot. Better in writing your trends. Continue, Woo. Kylie.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord.
All right. Some people use cattle prods. I use salsa, ghost pepper salsa. I look forward to Sammy and Gordo each partaking because at some point you will mess up.
Well,
or you'll do something that's not acceptable to the excellence of this show. Oh. So far that hasn't been the case. You both pitching a perfect game. Excellent job. So, 617-779-7937. I'm Rob Bradford. This is a Baseballs and Boring Show. As we mentioned, Gordo, Sammy, Play, Tessie are both here, a star in the making. Kylie doing the trends. Excellent job. And Brian behind the glass. And in case you missed it, I have made sure that these guys stay on point the entire show. And by doing that, if anything goes awry, I have ghost pepper salsa right here alongside. They will have to eat it, and it hurts.
He's basically like holding a gun to our heads.
Yeah, kind of. Brian, it's like it's harder than you thought it was, right?
It was harder than I thought it was. It doesn't stay for too long. So it sort of hits you pretty hard right away. Okay. And, you know, like I said, it's
always the optimist. I like how they still want to enjoy. Anyway, so we see the phone lines. They're all jacked up because there's a lot to talk about. But one of the main guys I wanted to talk to, and I asked him to call in. And here's the reason why, because I am fascinated by his existence. And he's, let's see, he's on social at Real Red Sox Jesus. He's the guy who is dressed up. You have probably have seen him in recent Red Sox games. Very good seats, right behind home plate in other places. Wearing a robe, long hair, beard. You can make of it what it is. You can also correlate that to his social media handle. But I want to find out what the story is because I don't feel like anybody has. Has anybody?
I have not heard it.
No, no. This is what we efforted the information. We advanced the conversation. All right. Red Sox Jesus, what's going on?
Hey, brother. It's good to be here.
Okay. All right. So we have to. We're going to start from the baseline. What's your name? You don't have to say your full name if you don't want. What's your name?
My first name is Chad.
I'm sorry?
My first name is Chad.
Chad?
Chad.
Chad.
Chad. Okay.
Yeah, it's generic. It's generic, boys.
No. It's all good. You're establishing a brand. And I appreciate you calling in because again, I think that you have, number one, you can tell you're a fan. Number two, this is what we do in this world right now. We're separating ourselves from everybody else. Number three, you're a super enthusiastic, which I think it comes off as very genuine. So, Chad, or Red Sox Jesus, take me through how we got to this point. What's going on with you?
Guys, I've lived here my entire life. Before we reversed the curse, before all of it, I started watching like 2000. My first home run, it was Veritek on Cone. I'll never forget it. It spent my entire life. My parents got to go to the 2004 run. They got to sit behind home plate. I was jealous my entire life. People ask me, why haven't you been to a game? You've lived here your entire life. You're 28. How haven't you been to a Red Sox game yet? I ask myself the same question my entire life. How haven't I been to a Red Sox game? So, just this past month, August 16th, against the Mariners, was my very first game. I was supposed to bring the costume, and I didn't. But it was a beautiful game, a beautiful experience. It was, oh my God. Every time I go to the park, I've been to 7 games so far, guys. And every time I go to the park, I'm living the fan's dream. I feel, oh my.
Let me stop you right there because there's already a lot to pick through. And Gordo and Sammy, you can weigh in. To set the scene, 28 years old, grew up a huge Red Sox fan, still had never been to a Red Sox game until this August.
This August.
Okay.
This season.
So you said you forgot the costume. What made you actually want to, where did it come from? Yeah, what was the impetus for the costume?
All right. Now, this isn't something I was ever going to share online. It wasn't something I ever really planned on sharing. I shared it with a couple people in person. A couple of close people, but I figure since you guys want to know, I'll share it, but it is pretty heavy. It's very heavy. A couple years ago, my little sister got hit by a car going 140 miles an hour. She got catapulted into the air. She flew into a building, landed into the curb, died for a second. My dad gave her CPR and brought her back. Long story short, she had a TBI, bruised lungs, bruised heart. A warrior, fought through it. Lifelong Sox fan, always wanted to take us together as a family, always wanted to go. It never worked out. She got hit, but one of the last things she got me was the costume, and I never got to wear it for her. So every time I go to the Sox games, I wear the costume, I take the pictures, and I show it to her. It's for her. I go to the games, I wear the costume. People think it's to get on TV. I could care less if I get on TV. It's beautiful when I do. It was hilarious. I saw myself with the shades. I started dying. I couldn't believe it. The first time it happened against the Guardians, I couldn't believe it. It was a dream. But it's all for her, guys. That's why I wear the costume. I do it. I take the pictures. I go, and I found my smile again. It tore me apart. And the Red Sox, It sounds cliche. It sounds corny, whatever you want to call it. But the Red Sox cured my depression.
Well, Chad, first of all, I want to sincerely thank you for sharing that story. And this is one of the great things about baseball, about fandom, about the community of Fenway Park and all of that, is that we're able to have these moments, have these stories, and have these powerful opportunities to have this. And yeah, you know, it was brought to us by me seeing you on TV as, you know, a guy who separated himself, as we said, by dressing up in the robe and the beard and the hair that, you know, a lot of people said, and you, as you put on social media, Red Sox Jesus. But still, like, what you said, and I'm so glad you shared that, because the two things to take away, the most important thing is that story you just told. Not even a question. That's the most important thing. And the second most important thing is the enthusiasm and the fandom that you show when every time that we see you. Because I said this to you before, Chad, a lot of people are trying to separate themselves with different gimmicks and everything else, and I don't begrudge them for doing that. But to hear that this is born from enthusiasm and not necessarily wanting to get on TV, not necessarily saying, oh, we'll be on the radio show, but because of the story that you just told and because of your enthusiasm and your passion and the impetus for that enthusiasm and passion, that is what makes me feel so, so good that we get this chance to talk to you. So thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate it.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, guys. And it's always a heavy thing to say, but I'm glad that I could. I'm glad that I could let you guys know, honestly.
That said, sir, they traded away Rafael Devers.
Huh?
No, I'm just kidding. Rafael, I know. I wanted to talk some Red Sox with you. I want to sit down and talk Red Sox with you.
I'll talk about Devers.
No. Before we get to Devers, I do want to ask about this. One of the things that I'm bizarrely fascinated too is that, you said that, you know, you hadn't showed up to Fenway until August. You have really good seats, man. you have really good seats. And here's the thing is that I was sitting in the stands the other day, and I saw you behind home plate, and then I saw you in other real good seats, and you've been up at the wall. So, I mean, you don't have to divulge this if you don't want it. Certainly, you've already blessed us with this call, and really appreciate that. But tell us, if you want, tell us how you get the real good seats.
Honestly, guys, I get, no pun intended, I'm blessed. You know, I just get really lucky.
What is some of the best stories that you come away from when you've been around? And obviously people, I see you talking to people, you're bringing smiles to people's faces. You brought a smile to my face. I did a screenshot. I was watching it on TV, and your reaction, I forget what that reaction was to. It was a walk.
Saw himself on TV, didn't
it? No,
it
was the walk. It was the walk-off. It was the Sogard, I think. But what are some of the great things that people have said or interactions that you've had?
Oh, my God, guys. It's countless at this point. I honestly can't believe how many people want to just come take a picture with me, and how people tell me I'm making their day, and that's exactly what I'm there for. I'm there to make everybody happy. One of my favorite stories, honestly, and it was from my first day. I caught a ball my first day, which was wow, right? But that's not it. Jim Wolf. I was calling out to Jim Wolf.
The umpire. Yep.
Yes, I was joking with Jim Wolf. You could slightly hear it on the broadcast. At some point in the ninth inning, I started "Let's go, Jim Wolf" chant. He was loving it. I made Jim Wolf's day. I cheer for the grounds crew every time they go out there. I know you guys got to hear me. Let's go, grounds crew! I cheer for the hats off. Whoever's out there for the hats off for the heroes, I'm cheering for them. I'm cheering for the first pitch. I'm cheering for the national anthem. I'm going crazy. When we're at the seventh inning stretch, I'm going crazy for Sweet Caroline. Every time I go there, it's a better and better experience. I got to meet Jeff and Matt Hardy. Those are my childhood favorites. Dude, my God. I'm telling you, Wally called me out onto the field to take a picture with him the other day. It's guys, I feel like I'm literally just living in a dream right now. Just like I posted on Twitter, I feel like I'm literally living a dream right now. I can't believe it.
So what's up, Chad? It's Sammy here. My question for you is, what's the plan moving forward? Can we expect to see you at games for the rest of the year? And if and when there is a playoff run, is Red Sox Jesus going to be at the playoff games too?
Yeah, you're going to see Red Sox if and when we do go to the playoffs. I'll tell you right now, we are going to the playoffs. I believe Red Sox Jesus believes that we are going to the playoffs. I see a deep run in our future. And if we are, I'm going to be there for every single game.
All right, man.
You'll see me at the Detroit homestand. I'll be there for the whole time there. And I'm going to be at the – you may even see me at a Bruins game.
Ooh, there we go.
Boston, hey, listen, Chad/Red Sox Jesus, we really appreciate you calling in. Hang on the line, okay, after. I want to make sure you get some baseballs and boring stuff because I think it'll complement your outfit just perfectly. But
no problem.
But sincerely, thank you for sharing your story. I think a lot of people take heart, and now I think that you know your fandom on its own is something I think people really enjoy, have inspired. But certainly your story that you told also will. So thanks, man. I appreciate you calling.
Thank you, guys. You have a wonderful day, and I appreciate your time. I really do.
Okay. Shout out Red Sox Jesus.
All right, there you go. All right.
Thank you. Go Sox.
All right, hang on the line, and thanks for the call. So, Brian, can you get him off the line real quick? That's you're right. I mean, I'm glad he shared that story. And also, I'm glad that, you know, this is something that nobody had talked to him. Like, nobody had talked to him. Nobody knew that story. And
when did he first pop up?
He said middle of August, but then he forgot his outfit.
Like, when did we first see him on TV, though? Because, yeah, I guess it couldn't have been that long ago because he went to his – that's the most – That was one of the more shocking things that he said, is that he did not go to a game until August.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll post that interview, I think, online. That's worth it because it's next level conversation, which is what we strive for. Let's go back to the phone lines. Tim in Hanover. What's going on, Tim?
Bravo. I just want to say, man, I love listening to your show when I can. And the thing is, you're sincere about what you do. And the thing is, I just love the passion for you. Because this stories like this kid right here we just heard right now, this is what it's all about. I grew up in the projects. I was a good athlete when I was younger. But you know what? A lot of kids never even got to go to the freaking watch a baseball game. It's horrible because they didn't have the cash to go. And I think they should do more for that. The Red Sox should allow so many underprivileged kids to get out there and do what they got to do. The last thing I just want to say is Cora. I hear people bash Cora all the time. The last 4 years, he's worked with these guys that are under talented, and he's done great with them. They don't appreciate a good coach, I don't think. And that's all I got to say, man. You have a great weekend, and you're the best.
Thanks, Tim. That's very nice. Very nice. He will not have to eat the salsa because he was a very nice person, and that call was excellent. That might have been one of the best calls I've ever heard.
Rob, if I tell you how much I love you, do I not have to eat the salsa?
No, sorry. Only one per show. All right, we got to take a quick break. We see everybody lined up, 617-779-7937. We got a lot more to talk about. Like we said, we have Devers, we have Corey Bregman, but also I have interviewed Christian Campbell, which I am going to get to because I think that he is a really, really interesting potential piece of this puzzle. He's heading to Fort Myers after the game on Sunday, but will he be back up with the Red Sox after that? Who knows? Again, 617-779-7937. Be back up for this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ball Isn't Boring with Brad Foe.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Yeah, you're going to see Red Sox if and when we do go to the playoffs. I'll tell you right now, we are going to the playoffs. I believe Red Sox Jesus believes that we are going to the playoffs. I see a deep run in our future.
All right, good vibes, man. We wanted to head into the final hour here with some good vibes. Thank you, Red Sox Jesus / Chad, for helping us with the good vibes, telling your story, telling your testimonial. Appreciate that, and I mean that sincerely. You can check that out. We're going to post that interview, or that it was an interview, I guess, a call from Red Sox Jesus / Chad. We'll post that on the BB. Isn't Boring, Baseball Isn't Boring feed, also Play Tessie feed as well. Speaking of Play Tessie, Gordo and Sammy are here, a Play Tessie. I think they are inspired, but they're not yawning yet.
It's not happening.
They're launching themselves into the third and final hour here. We have one more segment before we get to that. We'll see. Somehow, some way, I'm going to shove this ghost pepper salsa down your throat before it's all said and done, times.
If you keep saying yawn, I'll eventually yawn because I'll be thinking about it. Yawn. No, don't. That's cheating. Yawn. You can't fake yawn.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Tom in New Hampshire. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hey, I'm excellent. Are you there?
Yeah. All good.
Okay, I just had to call that a lot of times people call in and say they've been listening to the Red Sox for a long time and talking about how things are now. I've been a Red Sox, I'm 72, I've been a Red Sox fan since 1967, the impossible dream. And I just don't know that, I remember following that season down towards the end, game five, you know, against Minnesota, and Yaz went 4-for-4 and whatever, and they had to use Longborg, and they couldn't use him in game one, and then they lost to Bob Gibson in game seven because Longborg couldn't pitch on 3 days rest. But anyways, the whole vibe, the whole enthusiasm in my town at that time, you could hear radios on the porches and the garages and the gas stations. Everybody was listening. The enthusiasm then versus this run, it's just not the same. We've lost Roman, but hey, we lost Tony Conigliaro when Hamilton hit him in the head with a pitch and all just. But so you can't use that as an excuse, but I just don't feel the vibe. I'm not feeling it.
Well, you know, and Tom, and thank you for the call. I would say this. I will once again default to 2021 about how you felt back then, because I would imagine the same sort of thing was going on, the same sort of conversation. As we said in that last week, they lose four in a row. They lost four in a row. They lost three to the Yankees, one to the Orioles. You're in the middle of the wild card thing, but you're probably thinking the same thing. I think one of you guys said it. You get swept by the Yankees, and then you have to play that one game against the Yellow. How are you going to beat them? You're going to get swept by them. Mm-hmm. And then you just squeaked in by beating the Nationals?
It's a perfect comparison to this season. I think everyone – you know at Fenway, when the other team is making a run, Fenway gets quiet even when the Red Sox are in the lead? It feels like the entire region is in that mode right now, riddled with fear, justifiably so.
What do you got, Gordo?
No, I agree wholeheartedly.
No. Just don't get to eat the salsa.
No.
You got to be ready. You got to be ready with a take.
No, he said it.
He was saying that you got to keep the conversation. Like, how good is that if you just say, okay, I'm good.
Salsa time.
Eat the salsa. Eat the salsa. All right, Gordo.
He tried to catch me off guard.
Gordo,
so
well, and listen, this is.
I said,
can I be caught off guard? No, if I'm caught off guard, the show goes down the tubes. I have to stay on point.
You're like a spider monkey.
I am. All right, so as we said at the beginning of the show, there we go, no room for interpretation, only room for excellence. And if you don't bring excellence, if you don't have your A game the entire time, then you're going to have to be shocked into excellence with a spoonful of ghost pepper salsa, which producer Brian also already has experienced. And what is your take once again?
It's bad right away. Sort of that initial taste is bad, but it goes away quick.
All right, hit this on video, please. Someone. All right, ready? Here we go. Okay, Gordo, paying the price for not being ready for the to continue the conversation. Here you go. Eat that salsa.
I cannot believe you people willingly eat tomatoes.
Okay.
I will say that.
All right. It's like, what's this, your last words?
Yeah, it's my last words. Okay. I'm going into
okay,
like the,
go ahead.
The lethal.
Make sure it's an ample scoop of, good, salsa.
It's a good scoop.
All right. All right. What do you got, Gordo?
No, no water.
No, no water. No water.
It's really not that bad.
Oh, come on.
It's really not.
Take another spoonful.
Take another spoonful.
No. Now.
No.
No. I can feel it. I can feel it. Okay, it is, no, it is okay. In my mouth, but it's not that bad.
All right.
I have a weirdly good spice tolerance. I genuinely, the worst part about this to me is the tomato.
All right. Well, good. That's good to know for the final hour when we shove like a whole crate of it down your throat.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what you'd be saying then.
You honestly, I think you could hurt me more by getting the non-spicy.
Okay.
The all spice right. actually makes it better.
If I had you eat a tomato.
Oh, that's pure
that,
torture.
That was pure torture.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Or tomato soup. I hate soup, too. So if you mix the two together.
Right. Again, I look forward to, again, shoving a bunch of a whole cup of salsa down your throat. Then you'll see who is downplaying the whole experience. All right. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. Sammy, Gordo, play Tessie.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.